When you think about robots, does an image of a turtle come to mind? It does for my next guests and their students. Dan Aukus and Henny Ben-Amor are assistant professors at ASU, and they and their classes are working to build a new robot called the Sea Turtle. It's made of cardboard and is lightweight and inexpensive. Aukus and Ben-Amor join me to talk about this. And Dan, let me start with you. Where did the idea for a robot inspired by a turtle come from?
So this robot came from a class that I taught this fall called Foldable Robotics. The manufacturing that's used to make this robot is something that's kind of emerged from research labs around the country. And I thought that it'd be interesting to bring this manufacturing method to a classroom. And so this robot was designed by students. I told them to bring in some sort of animal-inspired motion into the creation of their devices.
Why specifically an animal?
Different animals solve problems of locomotion in different ways. And so there's a fairly tight connection between biology and robotics in terms of bio-inspiration historically. And this cuts through a lot of the design challenges of making a robot from scratch. You look to nature for inspiration, copy some of those aspects. It's not direct copying. It's usually lifting the best parts and putting it into a mechanism or design that accomplishes the same general type of locomotion.
And we'll post a photo of it at theshow.kjzz.org. But to describe it, it looks kind of like a turtle. Looks like it's made out of cardboard with some machine stuff, some circuitry stuff in the middle there. Henny, how easy or hard was it to come up with this and sort of get it to where it is now to do what you want it to do?
So interestingly enough, this was a project by PhD students of ours. So originally, the idea was to bring some of my PhD students into Dan's class because I was really interested in this manufacturing method. And I think they very quickly kind of learned what it needs. And also Dan is actually a worldwide expert in this field. So they learned quickly to kind of use this manufacturing method, but then came up with their own ideas on how to design the robot. Now, the interesting aspect here that we were after was how to bring together the brain of the robot as well as the body or shape of the robot. Both of these are actually important to succeed at locomotion.
Was there a specific problem you were looking to solve or task you were looking to have this machine do?
So originally, actually, even before the class started, me and Dan kind of sat together and thought about how can we leverage this class to actually solve a real-world problem that has impact. And so we quickly converged on the problem of landmine detection. And so the idea was to go away from these traditional robots that are heavy, hard to use, and always need the human supervisor, human supervision, towards a fleet of easy-to-manufacture, foldable robots that we can just drop in the desert in one of these countries. And then this fleet of robots would actually create a map of these landmines.
So if you dropped a fleet of these somewhere where there were a bunch of landmines, but nobody really knew where, how do they find them and how do they get that information to somebody who could then put it all together?
Right. So this is all looking forward, because what we're trying to do right now is to solve the locomotion challenge of navigating and just getting across uneven terrain.
Like a desert,
especially terrain that has additional challenges like the fact that sand can get into joints, bearings, motors, and really foul them up and reduce the service life. So again, it's another reason not to have a very expensive robot out there. With these robots, their joints, their moving parts, many of them are fabricated using flexible plastic where there's no rolling, sliding contact. So there's no place for sand to get into. So it's very well suited for an outdoor environment.
Another new element, a unique element of our robot, is that we are using machine learning, also robot learning. So the robot is able to learn and adapt to a new environment or unforeseen changes to the environment on its own.
Are there other potential uses? I mean, if you have this robot that can navigate uneven terrain or maybe even more specifically desert terrain, are there other things that you think this could be good for?
Yeah, so one of the ideas that we had was, for example, environmental monitoring. So that's something that can also At the moment, the way it's done is you have these static stations at which you monitor the environment. But ideally, you have actually something like a station that moves around and actually moves to the point of interest as it's kind of unfolding, as the events are unfolding. And so with these kind of robots, we would be able to have, again, kind of a fleet of affordable robots that would kind of swarm around. And then depending on the situation or the event that you would like to monitor, you can actually kind of guide them in into that direction.
As well as agriculture, I think that being able to modify the world, being able to dig, being able to get around in dirt, it's a trait that can be used across a lot of different activities.
And with the machine learning, are you able to transfer what, for example, this specific robot has learned and is able to do to the rest of the fleet that you have?
Absolutely. So that's also the idea here. If one of the robots learned a control policy or kind of a strategy that is beneficial, it can easily kind of disseminate that through Bluetooth or other kind of network approaches. It can disseminate that to the other robots in the vicinity. And so ideally, the robots can also learn between each other different control strategies.
And these things are like $80, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much would a robot that's doing these kinds of jobs now run, roughly?
I mean, thousands to tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending on the generality. And I would also say that the iteration, you were asking earlier how the students came up with this design. They didn't just come up with this directly. Every single week of the development part of this class, they were making a new robot. And so the cost of this robot is mostly in the motors and the sensors and the microcontroller. Those can be taken off the old design, plopped right on the new one, and the cost of the cardboard is pennies, dollars, not tens of dollars. So you can take this idea and iterate very quickly on the mechanism and get to a very useful design quickly over the course of days or weeks.
Well, Dan, Henny, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dan Aukus is an assistant professor at ASU studying robotics. Henny Ben-Amor is also an assistant professor at ASU. He works on robotics and machine learning.